p.m. in Louisville, Kentucky. And do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
Motion made.
Thank you, Commissioner Bell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Are you going to fight over who wants it?
Nope, chicken head on.
Okay. Okay, Commissioner Eichenberger, we'll take your second. All right, first on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. So if everyone will please stand. Keep your hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take a moment of silence. Okay. Well, we have two new visitors here this evening, so I guess we ought to take time to introduce ourselves. I'll start with introducing Steve Swagger.
Swagger.
Nobody can pronounce it, so it's Swagger. Swagger. He's our city attorney. Ed Lush, our city clerk. Dan Small, city treasurer. I'm Bob Stoneham. You'll see my name is Robert on all my official titles, but Bob Stoneham, I'm the mayor. And I'll let the commissioners introduce themselves.
Don Eichenberger, Property Maintenance Commissioner.
Dennis Metcalf, Safety Commissioner.
Linda Beville, Utilities Commissioner.
And Carol Campbell, Road Commissioner.
All right, thank you. All right, let's see what we got on the agenda. Make sure I stick with it this night so I can make an impression. All right, first on the agenda is citizen participation. Is there anybody that's got anything that they would like to bring up this evening?
It's getting close to Christmas, so those cards, those Christmas cards that don't nobody want. Bring them to the meeting, and I'll take them, and I'll take them over to Mission Barbecue, and they send them over across the country and across the world to our servicemen and women.
All right, thank you, Mr. Metcalf. We will make sure. If you all have them, you can bring them here to the meeting, and if Millie's not here, we'll send them home with her husband there.
Do you want blank ones?
Yeah, I just need an envelope with them.
Okay.
I sent 50 something last year. I think we get 100 on
them. Now, all them ones you get in the mail from everybody that.
Yeah, some boys found them.
All right. Anything else? Okay, we'll move right along. All right. All the commission get their city meeting minutes for September in the email, and it's posted on the website for everybody. We try to get them posted on Friday. Is there any corrections to minutes? All right. Do I hear a motion to accept the minutes as they were written?
I make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Yes. City's financial reports. We all received those in the emails, and we also have them posted on the website, except for the bank statements. But I personally want to take a moment to thank Mr. Small for doing such a fine job having it to the penny every month. I mean, it's amazing. And the reconciliation, telling.
Moving on.
All right. And Dan has got something to say here.
You're not going to resign, are you?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
I'm starting kidding college.
Well, you think you're getting a million off of it.
So two things I just wanted to make sure I understood. The first is, if somebody pays their property tax personally and it's escrowed, Do I need to put it on this list as something that has to be paid, or do I just pay it because it shouldn't have been paid in the first place?
What do you all want to do?
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. I think I do. So escrow pays it as well as...
Yeah, so the escrow pays it, and then the homeowner gets the bill, and so they pay it.
Yeah.
So you have to do a refund?
Yeah. They pay it twice. I guess they don't have to. You want to keep their money.
I understand. I just
want to know if we have to put it on the expense report. It actually will be on... When he does his financial report, it will be on the financial report as a refund. It's not actually an expense per se, because we basically... Because
everything that gets paid is on here.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, I'm going to pay something. Does it need to be on here, or because it's a refund kind of situation?
I don't think you're paying it. I think you're refunding it. Yeah.
We can do whatever you want.
I'm an expense.
We just want to have a set procedure to do it.
I just don't want to get yelled out down the road.
What do you all think? I don't think it would need to be on there, right?
I don't see any reason why.
No, this
would be necessary.
Wouldn't that be confusing if it was on there?
Okay. I'm good with that.
Okay, it's just going to be usually try to get refunded before we get to the next meeting.
Okay. So I am in the process of getting Steve information about unpaid taxes, so he can issue letters and liens and whatnot. Does that need to be discussed in the meeting at all, or can I just give it to him? Do you care to see that information, or?
I don't think you need our permission to send letters.
No, I'm talking about just giving this information to Steve. Can I just do that, or does anybody?
This is the normal procedure. We've always in the past just had the treasurer, not while I've been commissioner, but prior to that, okay, they did use just, the treasurer just gave the information to Steve.
Because here's what I'm saying. I don't want any of this, what's it called, open records or closed meeting stuff. If I'm talking to Steve about this stuff outside of the meeting, I don't know if that's an issue.
No, that's not.
Two unelected officials.
Yeah. We can talk about all kinds of stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah, you can talk about us all you want.
You go lunch now? Okay.
But we're not paying for lunch.
I'm new at it.
You've been an accountant a long time, so I would trust your judgment.
I just don't know about
it. No.
That's okay.
Are we going to the oldest year first that we haven't collected? Or?
I've got a list from 2006 to 2016 so far.
Good work.
I'll see
it. Now, keep this in mind. The farther back they are, it had liens put on the properties. So it's not like it hasn't happened, okay?
Yeah, I was good through 15 when I stopped getting the information.
Right.
So
are liens...
Do they have a time limit?
5 years, is it not?
I'm not sure.
Because we ran into a problem with a lien that we put on a property, and it lapsed after 5 years, and we did nothing.
I think we're good, because I think the last year I didn't do it was 15, so we're still within that range.
But the stuff from like 2006 has lapsed.
Yeah, but we're up to date on 6 through that. I mean,
we'll talk later.
Okay, we'll talk later.
Moving on.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else you want? All right.
Okay.
Do I hear a motion to accept the financial reports?
I make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner DeVille. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, it's all unanimous again. All right, moving along. Invoices and receipts. Everybody's had the list passed around, and it's been signed off by Dan and myself. So does anybody want to make a motion to accept the, we've already signed off on it, so they're already, all right. So we move on to that. There was no questions on those, okay. Steve, it's your time.
I have very little to say on the fact that everybody here is doing a good job. I think that some things that old business might come up that I will discuss. I want to reiterate what Robert said, or Mayor Stone said about Dan. He's the consummate good guy and incredibly talented.
Really not.
CPA. And we're going to raise some money from these delinquent taxpayers.
Yeah, I got a question. I know another city that puts property tax, or they have a property tax for cars on the, you know, like when we get our bill from the state, they actually have a city tax on their bill. Are we able to do that?
Well, that's a tax on chattel. Chattel is a thing. I don't think we have the taxing authority. I think the only taxing authority we have is against real property.
I mean, well, if a car is real property.
No, it isn't. Real property is land and improvements. I mean, real property is land, and then the things that are built on it are called improvements. They're not part, really.
I'll try to get a copy of it.
But I will. But, I mean, your chattel, you can't. I don't think you can tax the chattel. The only statutory authority is that local government can tax chattels like boats and the value of boats and cars and vehicles and stuff like that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. That's, chattel's a thing. It's not real property. But I'd be surprised if we could do that. If we can, I think we'd be a mistake.
I will find out from this other guy who's in this other city. I'm not trying to raise taxes, folks. I'm just bringing it up, all right?
Like we're part of the property, part of the money comes to us, you know, we separate out more than the yield from our city taxes from Louisville, which I don't understand why, but I can double, but whatever. And so then the next car stuff would be like, here's a portion of the city to where you're going.
Well, we do have a tax on the insurance premiums, and right. All that goes back to you. You know, you see it on your bill, but it's not an insurance expense, it's a tax expense that we get back. So it's always the consumer that suffers.
All right. I was just throwing that there. Old business. Mm-hmm. All right. We have some city orders that have been sent out in letters. First one goes back to the fences, back to May. I went and checked the Mecklenburg location. And they hadn't complied as of yesterday. The Janelle, I'm pretty sure, hasn't. But if my big thing is we put this out as city officials, now we need to move forward with the next step. And that's where Steve needs to tell, you know, advise us what our next step is on anybody who's not in compliance. And this will go for everything. This will also go for the rental registration and also for the vacant house registrations.
As to the three property owners who have apparently refused to remove whatever is situated on a city easement adjacent to their property, Bob, refresh my memory about that and ask them to speak about it. Here's my thought. You guys voted, I don't know what the vote was, to enforce our easement rights, which put us in the position of asking these people to remove fences and, you know, chairs or whatever they may have out there. So the recourse that I mentioned earlier was there's this whole idea of enjoyment, where you can ask the court to make someone do something or make someone stop to do something. But as a stopgap measure and a less onerous measure, I would suggest that I get the names and addresses of these three owners and I write them a letter. And if someone is trespassing on my property, if Bev comes in my backyard and puts up an umbrella and a chair and a table to put her iced tea on, I have a right to remove that. So we have a right to go down the easement, because there's an easement there, to remove these items that they have put in there. Now, Bob mentioned to me, well, you've got chain link fence. You hire a chain link fence company, the contract would be with the city would incur whatever expense that is, and then I would send the bill to that property owner. If they don't pay it, then I'd slap a lien on the property for the value of the cost to remove that fence, which we wouldn't enforce. We'd just let it ride until the property sold. It would be ridiculous, I think, to foreclose on a property for the expense of removing a section of a chain link fence. So that seems to me to be less onerous. these people are adamant that they believe there. One of them wrote me a letter and said, I want you to enforce my adverse possession rights. And I said, well, number one, that's not my job. You know, I represent the city. If you want to enforce whatever adverse possession rights you think you have, then hire a private attorney. But I sent them a case that says you can't adversely possess government-owned real estate. So they seem, you know, they're all there together. They're like, you know, the
two of them are.
Okay. So they've challenged us. And you know, the city made, the commission made a majority vote to do this. So I think it's ridiculous now to sit back and say, you can undo it. I mean, I'm not suggesting that. You just vote to decide to let it go. But it seems that's not going to happen. So then we can't, I don't believe, sit back and just let these people ride without, you know, without acquiescing to what we peacefully and nicely asked them to do. It's well beyond the time that, and they all sat here in this meeting. I think that I addressed some of these issues. So my plan is, in compliance with Robert's asking me to make a statement about this, I say I get the names of the owners. I can check to see if they still own those properties, and then make sure the letters go to the owners and just say, look, you know, the city would like for you to remove it as we've requested. Bum bum bum. The deadline has passed. You know, we're going to give you until maybe 2 weeks to do it. If you don't, then we're going to come in and remove it at your expense.
Well, Don, would that 2 weeks notice, that would be,
yeah, 12-205, which was Amy Miller on Joan L. Court. She sent us an email a couple of weeks ago and asked for a 2 week extension because her husband had gone through some surgery and they were in the process of doing it.
I have no problem with that. I don't write the letter.
Right, that's what I said.
Well, let me read these letters, because there's nowhere in these letters that it states the property owner has to do the work. And that's been my biggest gripe.
Well, evidently he wanted to do the work.
Well, it doesn't matter. There's nothing in here that says that they had to do the work. So,
that.
I mean, the first one said
maybe
the landlord.
They're trying to save money.
Well,
do it themselves.
Well, wouldn't that be the first option, to let someone remove their kitchen table from the easement?
Well, yeah, but they've had notice since May. I mean, it isn't like we did it, and we gave them 90 days.
So this is the most recent letter that says, you do it or we're going to do it. Is that what it says?
No, it doesn't say that at all. The most recent one says, this letter is a follow-up to correspondence with City of Worthington Hills dated July 10, 2019. In the letter, you were informed that your property had been surveyed and the following issue was found. The easement section adjacent to your property line had objects that needed to be removed. I've included the survey plat for your property with this letter. If this issue has been resolved, thank you for your compliance. Please remember that the deadline to clear the section of the city easement adjacent to your property is October 15, 2019. Any questions, please contact me, Mayor Robert Storr, mayor@cityofworthingtonhills.gov. Best regards. That's it. So, you know, and again, I'm not trying to be a hard nose about it, but I mean, if you count up the weeks, we have 5 weeks from the time the first letter, from the time the survey went out there. I mean, the posts were in the ground on the 5th of June. We sent the first letter out on the 10th of July, and we sent a reminder letter out, I believe, the 6th of September or thereabouts. But and the one property owner sat in this room at the August meeting and said, you'll need to send me a letter. Okay? And we put them in the mail. I'll say we put them in the mail with a tracking envelope to make sure we knew when they got there and they actually received them. Okay? My biggest complaint, and again, if Steve wants to get in 2 weeks in his letter, that's fine. It'll cover that. But I just want to make it very clear that in no way, shape, or form in either one of these letters does it say that the property owner had to do the work.
No, but the inference is that what you want them to do? It doesn't say that if you don't do it by 15, we're going to do it at your expense.
Right, right, right. Well, that's what I'm saying. In your new letter,
I've got these right here. It's on the
right.
And it has to go to both owners. I mean, if they're,
yeah,
you know, if they're married or if they're looking at the deed and see I can look at the deeds.
But the next move, I guess, is what Steve's saying. He sends a letter out on his letterhead as a city attorney.
I'll copy everyone.
Okay.
You know where I'm going.
Now, if you know city attorneys and you know attorneys, don't make anything nicey. Okay?
I'm going to be nice.
So, it'll be official. Sure.
Don, if this person needs help, you can give him my name. I'll be glad to come and help him do it so he can get one.
I don't think it's a matter of need help. I think it's a matter of they just don't want to do it.
They actually need help.
They don't know how to do it. I give people the benefit of the doubt.
She took the time, I think, when Amy Miller sat down and took the time to explain her situation and ask for just two more weeks. We are a community of people, and I honestly think that we should honor that. Now, at the end of that 2 weeks, then that's fine. That's my opinion on it.
I'm not going to send the Millers a letter. I'm going to wait until you think that deadline is. I think we just follow up on that.
She said October 30th.
Okay.
That's what she said.
Let me know if it's been done or not done, and then I'll wait on that. I'm not going to send a letter with that in play.
Well, if we give it to them, we got to give it to the other two.
No, because the other two didn't ask for it, and they haven't reached.
Well, why don't we just make? I'll make the deadline October 31st for those. So then it's all the same.
Yeah.
But I won't send it to Miller because we've already agreed that they can have that time. As to the
remedy, you still need to send Miller a letter telling them that we've agreed to extend it to the 31st.
Did you tell him we would, Dawn?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well.
And I told him that she didn't have the authority either to do it. It was up to the commission.
She's a property commissioner.
It doesn't matter. The decision was originally made by the commission.
How about we do a vote?
That's fine. Do a vote. I got to have a motion. Got to have a second.
Who thinks I should send a letter to Millers before October 31st?
Well, I make a motion that we give Amy Miller the extra 2 weeks that she has requested and make her deadline the 31st.
I second it.
But the question is whether I should send the Millers a letter before the 31st because Dawn's already said they have until that date. So do I?
No, they don't have. No, Dawn couldn't make that decision. The decision was made.
If she made it, then we can't take that away from her.
No, she didn't. She did not make the decision. She said she did not have any problem with it. That was not a decision that could be made by Dawn because it is a city order that was made by the commission. And the commission had given all parties till the 15th of October.
I believe, and I'm not trying to create any problem here, I think we're tilting at windmills. I think that we're making, no, and I agree with you, Robert, that we've got, you know, we've challenged, not challenging, we asked them to do this. But I think that any commissioner in their bailiwick of authority has the authority
to follow through with what they will give them
the extra 2 weeks because
the commissioner has the
Mayor,
well, all he's going to say is she has authority, and I'm going to argue the point that when I was making the decisions on the snow back when I was a road commissioner, they basically made a decision what the snow removal amounts would be, and then I had to abide by them.
We made
a decision on the 15th of October, so now if you all want to change it, you need to make it official record that it's being changed.
She just made a motion, and we got a second.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. Now I'm ready to take a vote. Okay, we'll start with Commissioner Eichenberger.
What are we voting?
On extending it to 2 weeks.
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
No. And I'm going on record.
As to the issue of these renters, I need to know the non-compliant ones.
Right.
And then I'll send them a letter to say you haven't done this. Here's a copy of that ordinance. And, you know, we're going to cite you for this and all that. You know, please comply.
Okay.
I need those names and addresses.
Okay.
I had a phone call this afternoon from a phone a number in Washington, D.C. And this gentleman, I had a very difficult time understanding him, but I finally realized he was asking me for the city's fax number so he could send in a rental.
Wow.
And so luckily I was able to, he must have thought he was talking to somebody that was just
an idiot.
Thank you, Millie. I was looking for
because
that
of,
word.
Because of your
sex?
I was searching for that word. But, yeah, so
okay,
he was
trying to
comply.
He
just needed the number.
All right, did you get that accomplished?
So whose fax number did you give him? I said, sir, go online at, I don't know what else.
Do we know if we've got the
facts
yet?
Do we know if he's complied yet?
I don't know. I barely was able to understand what the plural
was. You must be a politician.
All right.
There was a third issue. Do we have the renters? We have the
vacant house.
Vacant house.
So we only got three vacant houses. Was it, how many vacant houses did I have on that list? About
we sent out eight.
Okay, we sent out eight.
We've received five.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
But that includes three that we didn't send to.
Wow,
really?
So what
and I haven't compared those lists yet. I just pulled these numbers.
It could be that their rental house is empty.
And you guys are doing a great job.
But then with rental houses, we sent out almost 100.
Yeah.
And we've had five return to sender. And we're missing 41.
Okay, well, that's about half. Mm-hmm.
What does this letter say?
Oh, it's nice.
You have 2 weeks to comply.
The rental one, we sent out a copy of the insert that we had in the tax bill.
Oh, yes, okay.
You saw it.
All right.
I do have a question
that was also
about rental property, if I may ask.
Yes, ma'am.
Because we just got our master deed amended at the condominium.
Oh, yes, you talked about
to
that.
Put a cap on rentals. No one can buy property now and rent it out. How is that enforced, I guess is my question. I mean, is it the responsibility of the agent that's selling the property, or
what is? I'd have to see the document.
I'll send you a copy.
If you would, and I'll give you an opinion.
Okay, I'm just asking because we got it passed, but we just don't. I mean, like if somebody bought a piece of property and they wanted to rent it, and they sent a rental registration to the city of Worthington Hills.
Let me ask you a question. Was that change recorded with the county clerk?
Yes.
Okay, they're on notice. That's notice to the world. So if I were to buy that property and just decide, oh, I want to rent that out, I mean, I would be subject to that too because it's recorded. Or even if it had to be recorded to be enforceable. But it's within that document that I'd have to give you advice. I mean, there has to be some sanction if they do it. There has to be some penalty section to it.
How would the person buying the property know that they couldn't rent it?
The title examiner usually gives that. They do. If it's a cash deal, if I buy Linda's condominium, I'm just paying her cash, then I'm going to check to make sure that there are no liens on the property, you know, chattel mortgage, or I'm sorry, a mortgage or a judgment lien or a mechanics lien or something, but I'm not going to be looking for those types of things. But if it's a buyer who's borrowing money, then that lender is going to have a title search done, and within that title search, it's going to reference that document. So then the buyer in that instance, because they're borrowing money, would have knowledge of that because it would be in the title exam.
Well, what about the obligation of the seller to disclose anything about
the
property?
Public record, they wouldn't have a duty to.
Well, they would know about it because they had a meeting all the
well,
change.
Well, getting back to my situation with Linda, if I was paying her cash because she was the one who instigated this change, she would tell me that. But you know, I'm not so sure that anybody else would. You know, I think that it's a matter of public record, and I have it.
Okay.
I'm interested. I'll look at the public record.
Okay.
Thank you. I was just curious about
Thank you very much.
Send me that, and then I'll take care of it.
Okay. So what we need to do, I guess we need to have a motion and a second and a pickup vote on authorizing Steve to go through with these legal notices on non-compliance. Would anybody else disagree or agree with me?
I need the information, though.
No. You will get the information. We'll get the information. So do I hear a motion to authorize Steve to move forward with the non-compliance notifications?
Motion to proceed with non-compliance.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Eichenberger. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor, all those in favor say aye at the hearing.
Aye.
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 All opposed? All right, it's unanimous. All right, next thing on old business is update on the street lighting.
Okay, here's the update on the street lighting. Well, the residents have been slow in returning the permission forms, which we kind of expected. We do not have the correct address for the property owners at 11918 Queen Anne's. She sent it, it's a rental, and that form was returned to sender. You were able to track it down. I think, Dan, you were able to track it down to a bank Cincinnati.
That's where she sent.
Yeah, that's the only
address. So we don't really know who the owners are.
If you call PVA, they'll tell you.
We know who the owners are.
Oh, well, that's
it's a rental house. We don't know where the owners live.
We don't know where the owners live. And we have to have their permission to access their property.
If I can digress here. You can go online, Jefferson County Land Records, and then you're going to get a kind of a web page format. Down a little bit into that, you're going to see a link. You hit that link, and up pops a menu, and you can search by grantor is the one selling, grantee is the one buying. You can put both, or usually if you're trying to find the most current owner, you put grantee, because that grantee is the one who's purchased the property. And then to the right, there's a document menu that has every type of document that is recorded with the county clerk. So you go down to D. So you hit D, you plug in that address, and then you might have someone who owns five pieces of property or something. So you just click on those. It says view document over on the left. View document. You hit those documents, and you will find ultimately, and a lot of times it puts the... it might say Worthington Field or something. You know that is a property that they own. Up pops the deed. Then you can look in that deed. Now, for many, 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 many years in a deed, if you look at your recent deeds, in the first buyer, seller, grantee, grantor section, you are required by law to put in the tax address where the tax bills have to go. That is where the owner lives, because that's who pays the taxes. So that's how you can find out an owner's address. Now, if it's a real, real old property, before that requirement was put in, you might not be able to determine that. But within all these, the last 15 years, you have to put in where the tax bills go. And that's how you can find
out. And that's where we got the information and went to the bank. When they answer, that's the bank paper.
And that's how many we still have down.
Well, okay, that's an instance where the bank is supposed to be paying the tax bill.
And they did.
Okay.
Right. We're trying to get a hold of the people for the streetlights.
What, to get permission or something?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what is it on the property that you want to put it?
Yeah, that's what, let me...
Okay, I'm sorry, I digressed.
Yeah. That was how, though, I found out, because I sent, or Beth sent the letter and the permission slip to a lady there on Heathsville, and they had sold the property, and I was able to find out who the new owner was by using what you said to do. Still haven't heard from them. We had one owner who said that he would give us permission to lay the 105 feet of cable, and when I say lay the cable, we're talking about a trench that's 2 feet deep and 6 inches wide. That's what we're talking about. And I will say this, the lighting, the LG&E outdoor lighting gentleman, Jim Pearson, he and Dennis and I spent probably, 4 hours or so, this was back in April. This gentleman has been doing this forever.
Mm-hmm.
He picked the best location. He picked the most cost-effective location. But this particular homeowner said that he would let us use his property if we would pay him to do it for the loss of use of his 6 inches property.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a convoluted plan that started going into the green space and all that, and I just flat out told him that's not going to work. And this is Jim Pearson's letter. There is no usable power at this location. With this, LG&E would need to install a splice box and extend a secondary cable behind the green space at the expense of the city. So we're not going to do that. I mean, what we're going to do is we're going to contact the neighbor on the other side. We'll move the street light up maybe 2 feet and go with that. We don't have the property owner's permission on Queen Anne. Those two people have not signed. And the fellow on Heathsville. I looked at the maps again, and I found out, and I sent this to Bev, there was one location that we thought we needed the permission, but all it is one of those boxes. It's not going to require us to dig up anything. It's just about a 9-inch offshoot, so we won't need that. Permission over on, there is no permission needed on Boynton at all. We're going to tie into what's already there. So basically, you know, we can move forward if we can find these people on Queen Anne. And Linda, what do we do if we can't?
Linda, as to the first property owner we talked about, is there a tenant
living there on Queen Anne? It is occupied. It's not.
You might ask them, you know, just tell them that we're trying to light the street up to, you know, make it safe and user friendly for everybody. Who do you send your rent payments to? If they send them to the bank, then you don't solve the problem. If they confide in you and they're saying they're sending them to the owners, then they...
Well, LG&E's telling us we have to have the owner's permission.
No, that's why I'm asking you. Yeah. Ask the tenant if he's writing to you, if he knows the owner's phone number or address. That's what I do.
I would give them the letter stamped.
Hey, pardon?
I would give them the letter stamped and say, would you send this to the homeowner?
Homeowner, yeah.
I would.
So that way we didn't get the answer.
Yeah, I wouldn't ask the homeowner's address.
You might want to check the rental registration and see if it came in.
That's an idea.
That's one. That's another reason.
I think I did that, and we didn't have it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so then somebody's going to get a letter.
We don't have that.
This is one of the reasons why.
That's one
that
was returned, right? That's why we don't have it. It was returned.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Because I looked on the list, and we don't have that one.
But I just want everybody to understand, and I want the taxpayers to understand. And I did have I had a lady who sent me an email, and she said, I will sign the form. I don't suppose I have any choice. And I told her, I said, you absolutely have a choice. We're not coming in here and, you know, doing something without the permission of the property owners. And it's just like this gentleman. I mean, he wanted us to pay him, and I said, we're not going to pay you, and we'll find another way to do it. And that's what we did. And had she not wanted us to access her property, we would have found another way to do it. It may have been a little more expensive, but I didn't want anybody to feel like they were being railroaded into putting up a street light.
explained it.
And the other thing I have will have to fall under new business because it's one more street light. So
okay.
That's my update.
All right. Is there any other old business that the commissioners got that they want to talk about?
Yep. Sidewalks.
Okay.
Okay. Regarding the city sidewalks, it was brought up that public funds cannot be used to fix or repair private property. In some cities, the maintenance and upkeep of the sidewalks are assigned to the property owners by ordinance. We don't know if this is the case in Worthington Hills. However, if the city commission opted to take on the upkeep and maintenance of the sidewalks, that controlling ordinance would need to be repealed or amended. Some cities have an interest in their sidewalk upkeep. Cities, if they choose, can participate in the cost of upkeep of sidewalks. Such expenditures have been determined to meet public purpose spending requirements. This would fall under KRS 82.082 for the health and safety of all citizens.
82 what?
82.082.
I don't have my phone, I have to look at that right now. Okay, you're talking about public safety, public purpose, is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Public purpose.
Okay, we're just past that. Are the is an old map of the city of Worthington Hills, but it provides for what we need to talk about. On if you'll notice, there's little specks, and there's a line on Ludenburg. The line on Ludenburg is the water pit, as I call it. Okay. Those are not owned properties of anybody. Any place that the little line that those are actually city properties because they're city easements. This is actually the only thing that I say we're responsible for. Okay? And I'll bring it up again. The city of Louisville, Metro Louisville, in their city, and we're in the county, it states that the property owner is responsible for the sidewalks. And I will be the first one to say, we sent out letters earlier this spring about the trees and the tree limbs being over the street. And where is the tree limb and where's the tree trunks at? They're on the other side. They're between the sidewalks and the streets. So the sidewalks are on the private property. Also, our sister city, not only is Jefferson County not paying for the sidewalks or Metro, okay? I come across this afternoon. Anybody want to read it? I'll read it. It's on it's Coldstream's ordinance for on beautification, and on page 7, item number 7, on this page. The owner of the property abutting sidewalks in the city are required to repair that part of the sidewalk adjoining the property respectively belonging to them at their own expense by repairing any holes, uneven surfaces, or other defective places therein by using materials as nearly similar as possible to that which a sidewalk is constructed within 30 days after receiving notice and writing from the city to do so. This section shall not waive or affect the right of the city to order the reconstruction of any such sidewalk if it is found proper to do so. And in 8, it says pretty much the same thing. It talks about
repair it. If they don't repair it, then they put a lien on the house.
Is that an ordinance?
Yeah, this is an ordinance.
But we don't have any.
But see, what I'm saying is, has anybody checked the cost of putting and fixing a sidewalk? Has anybody even taken the time to check it?
Well, here's, if I may interject.
No.
Okay. I was just going to give you an opinion about the statute.
Go ahead with the statute. I think you're going to give us opinion.
No. It just says that, number one, it talks about eminent domain. We're not condemning property to take it, okay? The second one is it has to be a specific ordinance that says you can't fix sidewalks, or a statute that says you can't fix sidewalks. So this is a smart person. I think under the statute, you would be able to take a vote to fix sidewalks. Now, they did this years ago, and they came up with a company that didn't tear the sidewalks apart. I mean, it was crumbling, they fixed it, but what they were doing is they were infusing by injection, I guess, concrete below it, which was a lot simpler and easier and cheaper to do than replacing it. So it just built it up. And then I think probably there was a little bit of landscaping that they required the property owners to come in if they had to cover up some concrete. But that statute would authorize you to do it if you had the vote and the money to do it.
I think I know what you're talking about, because there was a company at the training up at KLC when we went.
Precision.
Yeah, they, I think, resurfaced. But I mean, they might, you know, they might be able to do it. I mean,
yeah.
They're a reputable company. They're good at what they do. Mm-hmm.
Well, my recommendation is before we even do anything is find out what costs involved.
Well, sure. We would.
Yeah, well, yeah. We're just not going to jump into it.
Okay.
Was it going to be the whole city?
No.
It's just areas that are really extremely bad. When you're out walking, they're raised, they're tripping hazards.
There's plenty hazards anywhere throughout the city.
Yes.
Only problem I have is I don't have sidewalks in my street, I don't believe.
You might try to fashion a deal with the owners, because if I'm walking along there, barring, you know, rain or snow or ice, and I trip and fall, I mean, that homeowner is subject to a lawsuit because it's their property. I mean, that's something that they need to be thinking about. If I'm a homeowner, I'm going to be fixing it. So maybe you get bids, get Precision, get a couple competitive bids. Sure, the guy is not going to exceed $30,000. So, of course, you know, get an idea of what it's going to cost, and maybe go to the homeowner and say, would you pay half of this? And you get your money up front, and then you do it. You don't want to be left hanging. So I think it's an issue or a problem that can be resolved. I think that, you know, this discussion is good. It's now we kind of realize that maybe there's a way to do it with public funds, and maybe not all public funds, maybe with the help of the...
I just wanted to bring up the only ones that we are really obligated for is those spots that are marked on that map. And the little spots are the openings to the green space. And then the other one is there's a couple of spots on Ludenberg that's on the Oakhurst side that are utilities that run through there, that we've got a utility easement there that's not owned by the property owners. And then, like I said, the big one is the water runoff area that's right there on Ludenberg Court. But my recommendation is we get the numbers, find out what we're talking about, and basically go from there.
I have a brother, and I wouldn't want to in any way, he's retired. He wouldn't do this even if he could. He's an expert in concrete and resurfacing, as we did for 30 years. All concrete resurfacing, you may have seen trucks. One time they had 15 trucks. And if I bought a lunch, he'd go out there, no cost to the city, and just say, this is what I would do, and this is who I would go to, and this is what you'd expect to pay. You won't do that for free. But I need to know where to go. Someone could send me those addresses.
Do that?
I just think,
you know,
again, I'll go back to the same thing. If Louisville's not doing it, I don't know why we should be doing it.
Because
we're much smaller. We don't have the tax base even close to what Louisville's
broke.
They're Louisville broke, yeah. And we'll go broke with the same thing. I mean, honestly, I mean, why are we going in to fix personal property? It's right in Louisville's code on that 156 that I've got on the back of that sheet. Louisville code states that it's their responsibility. Why do we want to be different than Louisville?
The way I see it is you make an informed decision. Investigate it, have a brother, you get a cost out, and then you can sit down and everybody can talk about it.
Right, we need to figure out the cost.
And then it goes to a vote, you know, I mean.
But we're not, we would not be breaking the law,
he told us before that we were breaking the law and everything else by doing this.
It's not against public policy to make place safer, you know.
Pulaski
doesn't have it. The Ludenburg Court doesn't have it. Queen Anne's doesn't have it.
Rustburg doesn't
have it
to build your sidewalk.
Well, I guess my other question is, you say that
I don't want them.
Are on private property, but I can show you where the pins are. My sidewalk's outside private property. Oh, yes, it is. I can show you where my pins are. And they're, one of them's an inch into the sidewalk, and the other one wasn't in the sidewalk at all, except the yard, and the sidewalk's outside of that. I'm not arguing one way or the other. That's your all's job. But some of these sidewalks probably really are not. Mine's not.
But
that may be my
but here's the thing. Off. The Jefferson County ordinance reads that they're abutted to the property.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that.
Okay, and that's the difference. They may not be on the property, but they're abutted to the property.
Right.
And in the case of the Bay Run, they're on the property.
No, they may be. I'm not
okay.
arguing that.
They are on the property in Bay Run. So, because they were put in with the property. Number one, on our streets, you can't put sidewalks on it because of the fact that we have that stupid LMPD or that MSD drainage system that they've got that's...
But we have that where we used to have it's level now, but it used to be ditched out.
Right, well...
He lives in the hood.
I live in the hood.
Hey,
neighbor. Oh, thank you. We're one of the original streets, and that they put that in, and when I don't know, it goes back years ago. They didn't put it on the cul-de-sacs for some reason.
I guess we're lucky then.
Mm-hmm. Or unlucky, yeah.
Okay.
Are you going to get some prices then? If y'all want to get some prices, bring them back.
Okay.
And we'll talk about it, and we can get it in the budget next year. Okay.
See, it's just not my budget. We can also. Per OAG-84-271 allows road funds.
That's
boom.
No, it's not connected to the road.
Yes, it is. This is from the KLC lawyer.
Did you tell them that our sidewalks are not butted to the street?
Well, let me ask you this question, and this is what I've always believed.
You have to tell them that they have to be butted.
It's my understanding that the road maintenance funds can be used only on the pavement. It can't even be used to fix curbs. That's what I think.
They said basically under this OAG 84-271 allows road aid funds to be used for the repair, replacement, and upkeep of sidewalks.
Well, now, wait a minute.
But see, that's an opinion.
That's an opinion, and not only that. Let me answer this.
Can you send that to me?
Yes.
But did you get something recently from an attorney who sent you that?
From the KLC attorney.
Okay, well, they know that, see, some OAG opinions, and it has to be for a public purpose. I can't send them, I want an opinion whether I can divorce my wife. You're not going to do that. But it has to do with public issues. But if he is saying that that's the most recent OAG opinion, then that means that opinion has not been adversely changed or overruled by the Attorney General. That means that is still good. It's not law, but it's the opinion of the Attorney General of our state that says you can do that.
Here's my argument back to that. That OAG may be pertaining to sidewalks that are next to the street and do not have an easement between the street
But unless it's qualified, he doesn't say whether it's on city property.
Well, you have to hear, you have to read, you have to read what he may be owed.
Is that an email?
Yes.
Can you send that to me?
You need to be able to reference the case he's talking about.
Well, I can pull the case.
Okay, because it could be that it's next to the street. Yeah, I already knew that, but we're not next to the street.
You guys are doing good work.
I have to be the devil's advocate, okay? I don't want to spend taxpayer money.
That's good work.
On private property. Anyhow.
But I do think it's a dangerous situation. You need to get it done because that'd be a horrible headline.
There,
you know, 75-year-old woman falls because of the bad sidewalk.
Really
all you can do is notify.
I'm going to send out a shill and have them trip and fall. You know.
We'll just send them a notice that they're.
But it's, you know, it's great. It's open for discussion.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving along. All right.
No.
Carol?
Well, this, okay. This is totally changing. I don't know if this comes under old business or maybe
okay,
new,
that's fine.
New business.
I'm open.
We have we have Northumberland, the crack filling.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove the Lunenburg and Halifax because what we did, we used the rest of that $3,600 from last year, and they used it to fill the cracks, but only to do Northumberland. And I just think, according to Steve, it would really extend the life of the asphalt 4 or 5 years, and I really think we need to take a look and basically go ahead and have the Lunenburg and Halifax crack filled also.
Right.
And I can get I haven't talked to Steve, but I'll call him tomorrow and see if we can get a price on it, what we're going to do.
And I'll take a motion on that in a heartbeat. I mean, I totally agree. We're in the new fiscal year. The road funds have $150,000 allocated for repairs, which is an arbitrary number, but it's allocated, so we can, if anybody wants to make a motion, we'll make a motion, make a second, and vote.
I make a motion that you contact Steve,
okay,
about the crack filling,
okay,
on
Lunenburg and Halifax.
And Halifax.
Can we make a motion to go ahead and do it?
That's
what I'll be trying
to.
With Steve?
That's what I just did.
What you did.
With, okay.
To go ahead and do
it. I didn't understand it, but I just wanted to clarify it. So we got a motion to contact All Terrain Construction. Is that what it is?
Yes,
All Terrain
Construction.
And get that project for Halifax and Lunenburg Drive.
Yes.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. All those favors say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. That would have been new business, but no big deal. All right. Anybody object to the spring egg hunt? Can we start that project if I can find some people to work on it?
I thought we
already
had the eggs. Don't we have the eggs?
It still has some eggs. You've got to find out how many
eggs. I had some too. I can pull
them. We might need to get a big gold egg, so. But we'll find somebody to work on that project, and we'll get a count on how many eggs we have, okay, before we go spend any money. But I want to, if it's okay with you, if I can get an approval, it's okay with you, okay? Once we get this egg count, and I'll give an egg count by next month, okay? Once we get this, we need to get it before we get into season for Easter. Easter is sometime in April. I think it's, I don't know, I'm going to take a guess. I think it's the 12th. But I would like to have the okay to move forward getting anything that we need for supplies for the Easter egg hunt. So if anybody's got any objections to that, do I hear a motion to move forward on the Easter egg hunt?
Motion to move forward on the Easter
Thank
egg
you, hunt. Commissioner Eichenberger. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Have y'all had any ideas about the fall hootenanny?
I think that sounds like
fun.
Yeah.
Festival, hootenanny, jamboree, whatever you want to call it. Okay.
So are you talking about a live band here?
Not well. If we got one in town or in Oregon, the hills, you know, we got some. I don't want to hear any hard rock teenagers. Okay. All right. A good country or a good bluegrass, that would be fun. So anyhow, whatever, start thinking about that, because that can go on the 2021 budget, okay? So we need to probably start trying to think about that over the winter here and start working on that. We need, again, I need volunteers, folks.
Okay, when you're talking about that, then are you also talking about having food along with it? Like,
well, that's what this is one of those things that what might be able to find a vendor to come out that wants to share their stuff. You know, there's some of these people that know all this stuff. We might want to find some sort of charitable type group that we're doing this for and get the vendors involved. They'll come after that. Okay.
Let me ask. I've got a friend who, I swear, that girl can get anything from anybody. She just has lots of contacts. Let me ask her and get some ideas.
Okay, well, like
I'll
said, if you have any friends at all, we need to get the community involved, okay?
I don't have any friends.
I don't have any friends, okay? I'll be the first one to say that, all right?
I want to volunteer next year.
I know the guy that owns Adam's Family Food.
Okay.
It's a sandwich truck. Mm-hmm. He makes sandwich grilled.
What?
He makes grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh, that sounds cool. Oh,
and just any combination you can imagine, you know. So.
Well, you know, going along with this, what I was thinking about for this weekend is we have like a Goodwill Saturday for some disabled or needy people that need to have their houses worked, you know, any kind of outside, like clean up the yard or whatever. I don't want this to the people that are just
lazy.
Good. Thank you for that word. Okay.
You're like our own.
Grammar police.
We have quite a few disabled people in the city that need to have some housework on the outside. So. And some yard work. So that's part of this that I would like to do on a Saturday, and have the get together on Sunday as a big let's all get together. Or they'd be tired on Saturday, so we'll do it on Sunday. But it's just something to think about. Come up with an idea, and that's why I put this on here, to get our thoughts moving. I'm not gonna say juice is flowing, okay? So
did you want the community to get
some
of the food or something?
Here again, this is what I have a problem with the community doing the food, is we get into the probability of something happening with somebody that is preparing the food, and then you have an epidemic, okay?
I agree with that, really.
I think if we had the vendors, if we can get vendors in there to... Because there are, if you get the right kind of charitable type of situation, and when we can start doing it every year, and if you do this every year, just gets bigger and bigger.
I think you can get the charity every year.
All right.
Donate the money.
Is there any other projects that anybody thinks of? Okay. Just think. Okay.
Yes.
New business. Well, we already had Carol's new business input. She had to jump the gun, but that's okay, Carol. I had the same problem when I was road commissioner, too.
That's what we did. I have something I need to bring up.
Okay.
I don't know how I quite missed this, because I do the life checks every week, but it was like all of a sudden, it was like one week I just said, good heavens to Betsy. Maxwell Court doesn't have a light on it.
Right.
I mean, it's got the light. It's an intersection, but it has no light. And it is so I contacted LG&E, and the only upfront cost is $92 to bore a hole in the sidewalk to run the line up. And we don't, it's not on anybody's property. So
oh, it's already there?
Yeah. And so, you know.
All right. Anybody got a motion?
Motion.
Who wants to do first?
I make a motion that we authorize the light to be put on Maxwell Court.
Okay. I'll just add that to the other.
Okay. That's number, you, thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Second is coming from Commissioner Eichenberger. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. It's unanimous.
Thank you very much.
It's that easy.
We're going to be lit up like Times Square when we get finished.
I was wondering when somebody was going to say something about Nashville Circle.
Of course.
Because I can't see down it when I run it at night. So
it's here. I don't know, like I said, I don't know how I missed it.
I was thinking that just last week. I was like, I don't know how we missed that, but it doesn't matter. All right. Anything else that you guys have? Because I got a couple of things, but I want to give you all first shot. Okay. All right. On this list, I've got the snow removal. See, prior to me becoming mayor, I was a road commissioner, and we had a dispute. And basically, it came down to.
Oh, no.
What we're going to authorize for the road commissioner to be able to order snow and ice removal. Okay, this is just a procedural thing, and it gets put into our minutes so that when the argument comes back, we can say we said it on this particular day. Okay, now I'm not wishing snow for any reason, but.
I'm glad you put the predicted in because,
yeah.
You know, it's really hard to run out with your little ruler and then wait to call him.
I always do predicted, okay? Okay? And the accumulated is what they end up reporting at the end, okay? But anyhow, it doesn't really matter. All right. What we used to do, and this is the one that we did prior to, we started with less than an inch, okay? And the prior years, less than an inch, we would brine the streets if possible, okay? And I say if possible because this particular city, for some reason, tends to come up with rain before snow,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And that really is kind of a bad situation, okay? So at that point, we can brine. We brine. If not, what we did was we salted afterwards. Okay. So, but I would the magic salt will take an inch down. It may take it a few hours, but it'll take it down because the next day the sun comes up. So that's what we used to do. We used the brine, and if we couldn't put the brine down, then we put the salt down after the snow finished. Okay. Then it was usually less than an inch. Okay. Then, and I'm bringing this up because this is what we were doing in the past. An inch to an inch and a half predicted. It was really up to the road commissioner, but we basically plow anything at it over an inch because we have a flat rate now. Okay. So we plow it an inch or more. And our flat rates go 1 to 4, 4 to 8, 8 to 12, and then 12 and above is negotiated, or there's a scale that goes on. So we plowed an inch, and then we salt it. But we would also brine. If we had the chance to brine, again, if it didn't rain, we brined at the beginning. The snow fell, okay. Once it stops, and we plow. And then we put the salt down, the magic salt.
May I interject?
Sure.
This has to be in the contract.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask. Yeah. This is very clear.
We can't see or talk about this unless it's in the contract.
No, it is in the contract.
Okay, let me ask you this. Were those paragraphs that I said needed to come out, were they taken out?
I don't know.
I have not seen that contract. I have a call into it. I've been out of town.
Carol makes the call on this stuff.
Okay.
He doesn't make the call.
No,
Carol makes the call.
But what we're talking about has to be embedded in the contract.
The flat rates are in there.
Yeah.
The flat rates for the cost is in there. The flat rates are in for the brine. The flat rates in for the 1 to 4, 4 to 8,
yeah,
8 to 12,
okay,
and 12 and above.
Yeah.
That's already in there. We're talking about Carol's calls the people. This isn't in the contract. This is what we're giving Carol to make the decisions on. Okay? And then it was brine, plow, and salt. Okay? And we always salt after they get done plowing.
Carol, I need to know about that contract. Because there was all this indemnification language here. He wanted us to indemnify him, which is absurd.
The last time I talked to him, he said, because I told him that you were going to take some out and send it on over to him. But now, like I said, I've been out of town. I haven't heard back from him. And I called him Monday, but I haven't heard. I left a message and have not heard from him.
Okay.
So, Bob, have you heard from him by any chance?
Well, where's he going to be when it snows? You know, I don't know. I mean,
but he has
workers to do that.
He has what you sent over. You took those. He didn't seem upset about it. He said, "Oh yeah, you took them out."
We
last
went
through
this too. Last year with the guy.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He puts them back in.
Yeah.
You know.
Because he said, "Oh, he took them out last year." And
so I put him in a contract this year.
I don't know, but I'll see if I can get it and then
keep it for him.
Because he needs. Then you need to sign it, don't you, Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to sign it.
Okay, I'll get it.
All right. All we have to do with those sections of the contract that I said need to be deleted, you can line them out, and then at the top, come this way, initial there, initial there, and date. Put the initials, and then the date that they were initialed, and that takes them out. If it's
so
a Word doc,
you didn't take them, you didn't already take them.
No, I just said that they need to come out. And here's a work. He makes an offer, all right? We make a counteroffer. We say these have to come out. He has to say, I agree to take all of those out. And then, if it's a Word document, I can take all of those out. It's called offer and acceptance and counteroffer. So he needs to say in writing, I agree with Steve, take all of that out. And then, if it's a Word document, I can take them out.
Okay.
Get it user-friendly.
Because I don't even have a copy of it anymore. When he...
I think I
gave it to you, and then you had looked at it, and then it...
Ask him if he can send that to me in Word, okay? And then if he sends it to you in Word, send it to me. And then I'm going to make a change and say, sign this or don't sign it.
Got it. Okay. In Word. Okay.
So going back to this plan, really the only time we don't plow is less than an inch. We just brine,
okay?
And if it gets icy after they brine, okay, if it gets real cold, we may put down salt afterwards. But usually what happens after each snowstorm, the sun comes out, and when the sun comes out, that brine works wonders, okay? The snow plowing, you get the brine, the snow plow, and then the salt. But I wanted to make sure that we're going to keep the same procedures that we've had in the past, because I know Carol had this last year, and I was kind of helping her quite a bit. And this is what we were doing last year. And Carol will call me, so.
Yes, I certainly will.
So, is there any objection to keeping the program the way we were? It's blind on less than an inch. Brine and then snow plow. Brine if we can, then snow plow, and then put salt down on an inch, an inch and a half, an inch and a half over. It's definitely plow and snow and salt. But we also put the brine down again. Anytime we can, we put the brine down, because here's what: the brine sitting on the ground gets activated by the snow. The snow, when the sun comes out, that snow magnifies, heats up that brine, and that brine works from the ground. It works up from the bottom rather than from down from the top, like salt does, okay? Any other questions? We okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, I got a couple things. DLG, that's Department of Local Government, has, I called them because we're not getting, because we haven't completed our audits. We've been, we have our road funds allocated, but they've not been released. And right now we've almost got $13,000 sitting over at Frankfurt. This has happened before. It's not a big deal. We just don't get the money. Anyhow, there's a form. I can find it. There's a form that I need to fill out.
It's an audit form. You can go online.
Well,
it's online. No, I'm not saying that it's not okay that you have a copy.
No, no. There's a form. There's a form for, we talked about. Yeah, it's in here. It's a form that we can opt out of doing the financial report for 18. Okay? We're doing 17's audit right now. Remember we talked about this? And we were going to, I just want to verify that we're still going to go through with doing the audit for 18. And if we are, then I need to fill this out, send it over to DLG. And they will then at that point know that we're going to do an audit for 18. It may really have to do this for any even years. Because they expect a financial report, and we're doing this, we would be doing the audit instead of the financial statement.
I think we need to stick to doing the audit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I was asking for, is if I'll go ahead and sign this and date it and send that over to them, let them know that we're going to be doing the 2018 audit. And things are going pretty good, I guess, on 17, because I haven't talked to Dan very much. So hopefully we'll be able to stream through 18 and 19 and get caught up. So it's not like we're losing the money. We just don't have it in our bank account collecting interest, okay? So if there's no objections, I'm going to fill this out and send it over to DLG tomorrow or the next day, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. All right. Thank you for finding my paper. All right. I have... Dan called and sent me an email. They said, how are we paying the storage staff or storage unit? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, it gets paid once a year as far as I know. So anyhow, I called over to the storage company to ask them when our year was up. Okay, because I knew it was coming up here soon. And she told me that we were paid up to and through the 16th of November. Okay. And then we would have a new year starting on the 17th. Then she sent me a bill that had $39 on it and 87. 87 is our regular fee with the shelving. Shelving, thank you.
Now, come on.
So the $39 was for the additional days in the remainder of November. Okay? So from 17th to 30th, that's $39 for that cost. Okay? They are a prepaid service. So I says, okay, so if we pay, you know, they've got a bill here that's due on the 1st of December. I says, I know we've been paying yearly, but we really can't pay yearly because then we go, if we pay yearly, we're taking funds from the next year's fiscal year. I says, so can we get a bill that goes from the 17th up to the 30th of June? That will get us on a regular fiscal year arrangement so that we can get benefit of your 12-month rental, which is you get a month free. Okay, if you pay in year in advance. So she sent me this, and I found out, because I calculated up, I come home at $649. She said, no, it's more than that, or less than that. And I said, why is it less than that? She says, because we have a six-month prepay option that gives you a half a month free. So what we can do is we can pay this invoice as next month. I'm trying to get this pre-approved because it'll be on next month's expenses,
But the check's got to be in before the 17th of November. Okay, and our next meeting isn't until the 19th of November. So that's why I'm bringing this up. So the cost for the remainder of November all the way up to the 30th of June is $604.50. That saves us $43.50. Yeah, discount of $43.50 on the 6 month. So, does anybody object doing the payment all the way up to the 30th of June? And that way, what we'll do is we'll get on the annual payment in fiscal year 2021. I've always tried to explain this to the previous administration, but they just didn't get it, you know. They always wanted to run our budget into the next fiscal year, so that's the reason why I'm bringing this up.
I make a motion that we pay it up to the 30th of June and
get the discount.
Get the discount.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Cable. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much,
everybody.
Okay. $604.50. It's on the back. And we'll put it on the expense report next month.
Okay. Do I pay this month?
Pay it sometime between the 1st of November and the 15th of November. Okay. All right. Next thing I'm going to go into is illegal immigrants within our city limits. I know you don't want to talk about this probably, but our city patrol stopped a vehicle earlier this month. And the driver came right out and told Kate that she was here illegally. And he stopped her because the car didn't have a headlight. But the car was insured and the tags were up to date. But how she's driving the car, I don't know. I haven't gotten the whole story. But I brought this up because, and I've got my little speakers here, we have to talk to Tate. There is some kind of commander order, or the captain's order, the commanders of Louisville LMPD have made them sign a document stating that they will not contact ICE off traffic stops.
Right.
Okay?
Okay. They won't contact ICE for traffic stops.
But that doesn't stop him, when he's doing patrols, of giving us the information so that we can contact ICE. So I want you all to think about this. I want to bring it up again next month. Because we have an oath of office. We have an oath of office that says we're to uphold the Constitution, the statutes of Commonwealth of Kentucky, and the city ordinances and county ordinances and everything else. These people here illegally, I know we have them, but we have an obligation to the people. If one of these people are driving around in our town and cause an accident or kill somebody or hurt somebody that aren't insured, okay, and we have not done our civic duty. I just want you to keep this in mind. It's on our back. So I'm going to bring this up next month. I'm not going to I'm not going to have a decision made tonight. But I want to bring this up because this is a sticking point with a lot of people, not just me, a lot of people. So
anybody could not have insurance.
Anybody could not have insurance.
Is this a resident of the city or is this just some?
Yeah, this person is living in the city. Okay. And I know which house it is, too. As soon as he told me which street it was on, I said, I know which house you're talking about. So, anyhow, I just want to bring that up.
But he pulled them over for a headlight, but they had insurance and
right.
A driver's license.
Right.
No driver's license?
No driver's license.
The car was
licensed, and the car has probably been licensed by the people they're living with.
She didn't own the car.
I don't know the whole story.
No,
okay?
She wouldn't have made
the
insurance.
She was driving
when
they were robbers. Why didn't you haul her in?
He just gave her a ticket for no operator's license. Now, will she show up for court? Who knows?
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. But here again, I don't want to get into any discussion tonight. I just want you all to think about it and look outside the box, not inside the box. It could be a friend or neighbor that ends up having a problem. Okay? Halloween out. Halloween hours. What are we normally doing this time?
When does it start to get dark?
When the sun goes down.
It's 7:45, 7:50.
Well, no, there's little ones trick or treat.
They'll be out.
All I want to do is know the hour so I can put it on the website.
5 to 10.
5 to 9. I don't want that. We got enough problem with kids. Well, the teenagers are pregnant after 9 o'clock. They're bad enough at 8, okay?
5 to 9
sounds. I remember when I was involved in that stuff, and they should have scared the hell out of them, so.
Are we still having issues in Worthington Hills?
Yes.
I mean, I don't see anything on the neighborhood site.
Yeah, there is. They got pictures of somebody checking cars on next door. They sure have.
I thought that was in our neighborhood.
Yeah, I didn't think that was in
Oakhurst. That's in Oakhurst.
Oakhurst, yeah.
Craig Street.
Craig Street,
it was there.
Yeah. All right. So October 31st is Halloween night, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 5 to 9?
Yeah.
I think that sounds good.
On average.
Yeah.
It's a school night, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even know. But
it's a Thursday.
Okay.
It's a Thursday. I'm almost sure. Is it Thursday?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
Do you like build decorations? I mean,
what's that?
The Halloween decorations. Bill has.
Do you even hand out candy?
No. I tell you what.
You can't even walk up to his front door.
I know.
No, what we used to do with people give us candy, we used to get so consoled.
I used to, when I first moved into the city, I did the spook house. I mean, I had speakers in the window now my yard's a spook house anyhow. But anyhow, I did that, and I really had a lot of fun because I actually had the one side of my garage where I had it all with black curtains and stuff. And I was sitting in a lounge chair just dead still like a wicked wizard or something. Had these two African American teenagers, and over in this area here they had a tape me. I mean, if you pick anything out, the little hand would get you, okay? And they went to grab a bunch of it. I says, only take one. They jumped. They jumped. I ain't going to say they turned to Casper, but it sure was funny. I had a fun. But anyhow, that was what I did. But then we didn't get anything down the street. But I see a lot of more decorations this year. I have noticed more decorations this year than I have in years past. So
we don't get a lot of kids. We used to.
Yeah, because we're on the cul-de-sac. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the our cul-de-sac.
The end of the cul-de-sac.
It used to just rock. I mean, when we moved here and the kids were little.
We'll get it rocking again. Yeah. I mean, we've got a lot more little kids in the neighborhood now. So it may go up.
We might think about having a Christmas decorating contest. Maybe we have a Halloween decorating contest.
Have you all been over to
Hillcrest
over
Hillcrest. Oh yeah, one of our friends lives there. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. She decorates like crazy.
Okay.
So we should do
something for Halloween too.
Is there? It's a good idea.
I'm gonna get
paid. I'm
gonna
do something. You know.
Is there anything else you want to talk about for new business? All right. Then we'll move along to the commission reports. And who wants to go first?
Mine is the shortest. I'll go first.
Okay. So
I did street light checks on 9, 3, 10, 17, and 24. I answered 4 emails, 2 about garbage recycling, 2 about lighting proposal. I met with Jim Pearson, and we reevaluated the location for 2 of the street lights, and that's my report. That's what I did this month.
Right.
My wife.
Thank you, Commissioner Bell. We'll have to go up the row here. Commissioner Campbell.
Okay. On 9/19, I called MSD to report a drainage problem at the corner of Northumberland Drive and Bay Run Drive.
Yes.
Don had already done this.
Yeah, right. I had already done it. Because the winter's coming, and that's an ice rink right there.
And it said the water must drain in front of four houses to an in-ground drain at the corner of Lunenburg Drive in Northumberland. And there's a buildup of the dirt and debris, and it doesn't drain. And the water backs up
on
Bay Run and Northumberland, and those cars come down and hit that ice and just slide right into Northumberland. Plus, it's a multiple bus stop.
Yeah.
It is a dangerous, dangerous situation. So I have the order number, and I'll follow up. I'm going to call them.
Plus, it's an incline, and I've slid through it myself before.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
It's both sides.
Yeah.
It's not just the north side. It's also the south side, because that whole hill right there gets it. And we that's one of the things that we need to make sure that if Trevor's still doing the snow, the ice removal, okay? Trevor's a little girl, okay? All right. If she's still doing it, make sure to remind her that hill there needs a little extra.
Okay.
Try to get her to put a little extra of the brine down. That kind of helps, but
it's still going. Once it freezes.
Once we get down to 15 below with the wind, see, that's our problem. We get the wind. Luckily, that's not out of the north there, but you still get the wind there. Okay.
And then twice, on October 1st and the 15th, I checked the asphalt roadways on Lunenburg Drive in Halifax, and we'll have Steve fill the cracks.
Okay. All right, thanks. All right, Commissioner Eichenberger.
Okay, on 9/27, I received an email from a resident regarding RVs parked in driveways. Advised is an eyesore and turns people away from wanting to buy in our neighborhood. Officer Tate Mason contacted code enforcement for the rules and regulations regarding RVs. On 9/29, received an email from Harold with Maximus stating he has not mowed the large green space for several weeks due to lack of rain. Also advised trees at main entrance showing signs of stress. I advised Harold to contact the irrigation company regarding the regulator. That way it will be fixed and ready for spring. 10-1. Received email from resident regarding who would be responsible for the maintenance and repair of the fences shared by properties. I asked what she was referring to, and she advised it was the property fence between her house and her neighbor's. I advised that would be the responsibility of the property owners. She understood and said that they just moved into the neighborhood. On 10/3, spoke with Amy Miller and advised, since she had a previous engagement and would not be able to attend the meeting, that I will attempt to resolve her issue, which we got resolved tonight. On 10/9, received call from property owner and her husband regarding how horrible the conditions are at 4804 Middlesex Drive. Advised we are contacting code enforcement and that the next door homeowner should do the same. That's the one that
I don't know what they got in their backyard, because I've been by there and I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, and see, the guy, after you responded to the email, they called me, and I know the guy, I know him, Jerry.
Is there something behind the house?
I don't know. He didn't
I keep going through there, and I just can't see anything that they're talking about. But
he said some kind of Episcopal truck is parked in the driveway. Did you see some kind of truck parked in the driveway?
Mm-mm.
He said it's been there for 5 years.
At 4805 and 4?
Yes.
All right, I'll look at Brandon Rudd. But I've been through there almost every night, and I just don't see anything. Because I've been running the streets every night from maybe 2 o'clock to see what's going on.
You don't run nowhere.
I don't run. I drive the car, but right. To me, that's running.
Right. That's all I have.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Eichberger. Commissioner Metcalf, what do we have with the public safety?
Drove the city on multiple occasions. Mayor Song, myself, with the Steve Slager's office. Talked to Mr. Charles Mitchell at 11012 Lunenburg Court about obtaining a permit from Metro Lowell to construct a gravel parking pad. Derby City Protection Activity Report 10-1 and 10-2 of 19. Rustburg parking citation for parking in grass. Queen Anne's Court codes and regulations ticket open for RV parked illegally in driveway. Lunenburg Drive codes and regulations ticket obtained on a utility trailer parked in the yard.
Wow, that's good stuff.
Pulaski Court traffic stop, one headlight. Driver did not have driver's license and admitted she was not here legally. Middlesex in Northumberland, domestic violence suspect drove past officer, suspect ditched car and was found a short time later on foot. Suspect was arrested on several charges. Lunenburg Court parking citation issued for parking in grass. Bay Run in Northumberland, traffic violation, stop sign, excessive tint. Rustburg Court parking citation, car parked in wrong direction.
That's it.
Okay.
That's
good work.
Who was charged?
Go ahead.
How is an RV parked in a driveway? Explain to me what's illegal about it.
Well,
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
It's a Jefferson County ordinance.
That you can't park an RV in your driveway?
You can't park it in front. You can not park it in front of the facade. And the only RVs that you can park on the property have to be less 26 feet or less, I think is what it is. And anything above that cannot be on the property more than 48 hours or something. But it's in Jefferson County Code.
Okay, well, you know where I park mine in the back, but right now it's out.
That's not an RV.
I mean, it's not a gravel.
This person had electricity.
Electricity for tonight. Okay. But we're getting ready to go camping.
Yeah. We're talking long term. We're not talking short term.
Well, I'm not living in it.
We have three of them. Here's the thing. The one that's on Heathville is gone. I don't know if it's going to come for good.
Where are you guys going?
The one that is on Boydton is behind the fence, but he sold it because I talked to him just 2 days ago.
Yeah, that's
on the one on Boydton is 27 feet.
Yeah,
okay.
So
that's been sold. So he's moving that out. He's getting one, I think, like you've got. Either going to be a pop-up or a key, okay? And then the one on Argonne, they report it, and the one on Queen Anne's. And the Queen Anne's is the most dangerous one we've got because they've got it sitting on the driveway. You know how Queen Anne's has the slope? They've got it up level on their levelers. And, you know, I don't know how long it's been sitting there, but if those levelers were to
give way,
thank you for the words.
You're
give way, it's going across the street.
No.
The levelers
probably got everything on it.
The levelers aren't sitting flat on the ground. The driveway is slanted, okay? So the levelers are actually going downhill. Okay? So anything else from the citizens? It's citizen participation time.
I have a future issue.
Okay.
Probably next spring, we're going to tear down our garage and rebuild. But in the meantime, I have to put everything that's in the garage somewhere. So we're looking at getting a pod or something as we do construction. So think about it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Are you getting a permit?
Because
I would.
Okay, well, I'm just saying because I talked to code enforcement, and I was told anything over 200 square feet has to have a permit. So.
Yeah.
Well, no, she's not talking about that. You're going to get a build. Your builder will get a building permit.
Unless they don't speak English.
I was going to say, Bill's not doing it.
Okay. I just wanted to bring it up because I had called code enforcement because we do have a building that has gone up by the flagpole.
Oh, mm-hmm.
By the flagpole? On a property that's up by the flagpole. When you come up North Upland, you can look straight at it.
Huh.
And they are of Latin descent. So.
Well, but there's going to be all sorts of issues because we put the pod in the driveway, then we have no place to put the cars.
Well, you put the car in the backyard.
Well, it'll be really hard to get it back there.
Yeah.
You can load the pod and they will take it to a store.
They will take it. Yeah. Where this is early planning, but I.
Yeah, if you think that would probably be the best because if you.
Right.
You know, if you do it early spring, you're going to, you know, your lawn equipment, you've got your deck, you can put your lawn equipment under your deck. So, but, yeah, you can put everything in a pod and just, like you said, you haul it off.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have something else to bring up. If you look at your little map here, if you come in off Westport Road, down mm-hmm. Northumberland, the first little red check mark for the sidewalk, is that where we had the problem with them getting in and they drove through somebody's grass and complained?
Let me look.
The first little red mark off Westport Road down North Upland, between Dickerson and Mecklenburg.
Yes.
That's where the person complained?
Yes.
The reason they probably complained is because the way the signs were situated there, they have to go around the sign instead of between them, maybe.
Yep.
Then you can go through and not ever touch the property.
I wondered about that myself when we were.
Now, I don't know about the rest of them in the subdivision, whether there's room to go between the signs, but this one is not. So he had to go around.
The signs, as far as I know, are placed all in the center of that entrance. And that entrance, most of them are 10 feet. Or in that case, that one I think is close to, well, looking at the plat, it could be 20 feet.
So I'm just thinking if the signs were either put together on one side of the property or separated and go between them, then you would have the issue ever again if somebody driving through the person's property.
Alright, is there anything else before I ask for a motion to adjourn the meeting? Alright, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Y'all have a nice evening. Thank you very much for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.